We are good. We are back after a three-week hiatus and just conflicting schedules between the two of us. Conspiracies, Crime, and Curses podcast hosted by Anthony Bavetta and yours truly, Mad Max. How are you doing on this Thursday afternoon, Tony Bavetta?
Doing pretty good. You know, it's, you know, there's a lot going on, man. I mean, tons.
Another shoot. Well, another shooting.
Another multiple shootings, man.
Yeah.
Like, we'll talk about the shooting of James Blake over in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Yep.
I mean, you figured, wouldn't you figure that after, like, the George Floyd and Breonna Taylor stuff and all the protests that maybe, like, maybe the shootings would kind of come to, like, a halt? They really haven't.
They know. They're still going on.
They're happening now in broad daylight, like while there's more awareness than ever before.
Yeah, witnesses, people with phones, they don't care.
Oh my god, oh my, everything, dude, everything is going to be taped. Everything. The only reason why George Floyd even got, you know, the national attention that it needed was because somebody was there filming. And here's the thing, too, that also was kind of scary. You think about a city like Kenosha, Wisconsin. Like, did you ever hear of Kenosha before nope. James Blake? So, like, who's to say that these things don't happen in other small towns where there aren't people with
cameras
film? These could be happening anywhere. Could be happening right now. You have no idea until somebody takes out their phone and starts videotaping.
Yeah.
I mean, not necessarily like black people getting shot, but like black people being like, you know, harassed, you know, black people being discriminated against, being treated differently by the police. Cause I feel that, you know, any black man that's shot for unnecessary reasons by police is going to get national attention from now until the end of time. But any sort of harassment of black people, especially by the police, they're going to be happening right now. We have no idea. There's millions of small towns in this country where you've got police forces that you don't know how they operate.
You need a reconstruction of the system.
You know,
it's gonna have to happen.
Have you ever wondered, like, have you ever wondered how the Kenosha Police Department trains their officers? I mean, you got to figure it's a small town. Maybe their police academies aren't as up to standard as, say, the NYPD. Who knows how they, you know, demonstrate their training practices to upcoming recruits. What happened with James Blake could have easily been like how procedure is. Now somebody in a different state could say, oh well, it was horrible, but this is how they're trained. And that's why we go after them. And then that's why people are saying that the system in how you train officers needs to be drastically changed. Now, what's this thing about, like, people are saying that, like, James Blake had, like, a knife on him or something like that?
Yeah, I was hearing about that. I don't,
because everybody now wants to be like a freaking, like, game official now, where we have to analyze the footage. It's like instant replay in like the NBA or the NFL.
Yeah, I know. It's horrible, especially for a situation like this. I did hear about that. But we haven't seen any footage of it.
Well, there is the footage from like two different sides of the car. Mm. And when I watch it, I'm not there analyzing it.
Yeah.
And you don't. No one who is watching the video is ever going to know what really happened. All you're going to see is the cop have the gun on him, even while he's going to his car door. Like, the gun is aimed at him. And then he's going, and then what I saw is he's going into the front door of the of the driver's side, and then the cop just unloads 7 shots into his back. Man's paralyzed for life. Well, is he for life? No, he's probably
from the waist down.
But they said it would take a miracle for him to walk again. So hopefully, you know, God is on his side, and he could walk again, praying that that there is a chance. Because, I mean, you know what else is sick?
What's that?
He was dead.
I kind of like cut out. What were you saying? You said after you want to know what else is sick, it cut out.
Well, when I first heard the story, I immediately assumed that James Blake was killed.
I did too.
I didn't know, because isn't that kind of like what we're groomed to like expect? Like when you think of like black man or black woman, in fact, and cop, you would think like, you know,
gunned down.
Black person gunned down. But no, he survived. Luckily, 7 bullets into his back makes sense. Any sort of damage to your spine, dude, especially in the lower part, you're reduced to a wheelchair.
Yep.
And now riots are back. Probably going to be stronger than ever now, because, see, with George Floyd, it was like, we're bringing awareness and this is what we have to do. Now it's like, we brought the awareness, but it's still happening. Now we just got to, now I they're taking it to the next level. And this kid, did you see this kid? I forget his name, Rutenhouse or Rottinghouse.
No.
The 17-year-old kid.
No, I didn't see it. What happened?
Oh, well, there was a 7, I forget his name. I think his name was Kyle. Yeah, I think his name was Kyle something house. He was 17-year-old kid. He lives in Illinois. His mother drove him from Illinois to Kenosha, Wisconsin for the riots, and he brought an AR-15.
Oh, okay, yeah, this the white kid, right?
Yeah, the white kid with the
AR-15. Okay, yeah, I know what you're talking about now. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I was about to say, like,
yeah, I know. I was like, have you heard about the 17-year-old kid? I was like, no. I was like, what are you talking about? But now you talk about that. When you mentioned the AR-15, you already know it.
you know. Yeah, but the kid, but apparently his motive was he was going there to defend businesses. He crossed state lines, a minor with an illegal weapon, to go and defend businesses.
And he killed 2 people.
Shot 3 and killed 2. And like maimed, like in the third person he shot, like he just maimed him. So this is next level, man, because now we're seeing, you know, and now we're seeing pushback, violent pushback. You know, I told you 2 years ago, man, that civil war is coming. And every time I tell you, man,
have you been watching the RNC?
I've been watching highlights, man. It's all speeches and stuff. Well, the DNC was the same thing. But, like, yeah, I've been, like, keeping up.
I mean, you listen to these speeches. They make it sound like they're afraid. You have to be afraid.
And they make it sound like there's nothing going wrong.
Yeah.
I don't really pay mind to these conventions, dude. All that matters is November 3rd.
And Trump's got to be out. He's got to go.
We'll have to wait and see, man. Listen, I remember 4 years ago, the conventions were all rah-rah Democrats, you know. And they had put on a pretty good Democratic National Convention. They had a lot of people, like, Michelle Obama made a speech 4 years ago, so did Barack. I think Joe Biden did too. Like, tons of people. It was the same thing.
Yeah.
And look what happened. These conventions, dude, they're all like just to like promote. It's a promotion.
Yeah.
November 3rd is the big day. That's where it truly matters. That's why I don't look at polls, man. 4 years ago, I would freaking, like, I wouldn't even make polls public at this point. Why should anybody believe any poll when literally 4 years ago, Donald Trump had a 15% shot of winning the of winning the presidency, and then on Election Day, he went off and won by a pretty nice margin in the Electoral College, but he lost the popular vote. But he won the part of the election. That
that's where the Russians won. Came in.
Who knows if they could be happening? They could be helping right now. They could be helping right now.
They got to get him out. I'm telling you, anyone but Trump, he's got to go. This is a guy, he hasn't fixed anything in this country. Look, the country is chaotic between COVID and the unstoppable amount of police shootings in this country.
The problem is that, yes, you could vote him out. First off, you got to get people to vote. And with this pandemic and with this attack on the U.S. Postal Service now, where you've got mailboxes being trashed.
They're being taken out. What's going to happen to the United States Postal Service? It's going to be gone.
Well, the Postal Service as a whole is, like, people delivering mail stuff like that is going to become a dated industry in about, like, in about 10 years with, like, email and technology. The Postal Service itself won't be gone, but, like, paper mail and stuff like that I don't think will be around much longer. But I just don't like see where this could go. It can't go that clean. Do you think like on like November 3rd, it's just going to be as simple as like any other election day where people go out and vote in person and then whoever wins is just going to transfer the power to the person that wins? I don't believe that one bit.
Yeah. And then you have Trump going at the RNC 12 more years. 12 more years.
He does that to troll the other side. But that's rhetoric that people take to heart, man. Voters look at that stuff. I just worry about, like, see, the voting process in this country is so archaic and it's so wrong. You're going to have people waiting online for 4 hours. It happened 4 years ago. It happened 8 years ago and 12 years ago with every election cycle that happens. It's always long lines. And now Trump is sending in, I think it's called voting watchers, his own people to like watch to see if there's any tomfoolery going on.
Oh, come on. It should be the Democrats sending in watchers because he was the one that was accused of meddling in the election with Russia. He's the one that needs to be watched.
Well, he's the one sending in the people. I just don't know, like, I don't know how this is going to end. It can't be that clean. I can't see, like, do you remember when Donald won and like Obama invited him to the White House to transfer the power.
Yeah.
I can't see that with Donald and Joe Biden.
I know. I can't see it either.
It's not going to happen.
No.
But where is this going to go, man? Are we going to have people getting shot?
He was almost shot a couple weeks ago during a press conference.
Oh, well, there was a gunman outside the White House. But, damn. Because we just saw this 17-year-old kid come in with an AR-15, cross state lines, and kill two people in a protest. Who's to say that, you know, God forbid, tonight's protest, because these protests are going all the way in November, dude. They're, at this point, they're just not stopping. Until legitimate change comes, they're not stopping. Who's to say that instead of one person, it's like a group of five people, 10. Like, people are crazy. They'll do it. They'll do it. And I don't know. I just don't know how this could end clean. It can't. It really can't. And let's say, God forbid, that Donald wins re-election. What do you think it's going to be then? Does it kind of make you laugh a little bit?
Dictatorship.
It kind of makes me laugh a little bit because it's like, man, that would just be like
end of the world.
Like, did you see Joker?
Yeah, I've seen that.
Do you remember the ending when, like, you know, like, there's, like, the riots in the streets and the cars
are,
like,
burning? Yeah, and he's laying on the taxi car.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be if Donald is reelected. That's what it's going to be.
Probably is.
Man, it's insane, but that's the truth, right? How can it end clean? I told you 2 years ago, and every time I said it, you'd be laughing your ass off.
With the Civil War, right?
I said it to you. I've been saying it multiple times.
The Civil War. I was laughing the first time that you said it in the studio. I think it was on our either a third or fourth podcast for the Conspiracies, Crimes, and Curses podcast. And you said there's going to be a freaking second Civil War.
It's coming, dude. It's coming. Is it going to come before November 3rd or after November 3rd?
What do you
Is
think? Before or after? I don't know. It may have moved with the pandemic, but I still think it's November 3rd. To my knowledge, it's still November 3rd.
In 2016, it was November 8th.
It was November 8th.
See on the calendar app.
All right, let me check it.
Yep, the 3rd, election day. November 3rd, Tuesday. It's always the first. I think it's always the first Tuesday of November. But
it's going to be it's going to be purge time.
Is it going to be? I'm asking the question. Is it going to boil over before November 3rd or after November 3rd? Because you could have a case where if Joe Biden wins, Donald could easily call the election rigged. He could not leave office. And who are the people that are going to actually go in there and take him out? Not kill him, but like physically like take him out of out of office.
They have to be the National Guard or something, right?
But he's got these supporters now that have the guns, and is like,
You know, if he loses, he'd be like, "I'm not going anywhere. You have to force me out." You know that.
Think about this angle too. They're talking about a possible second wave of this virus that's supposed to be worse than the original wave, and that comes in the fall. What if we're all under lockdown again, and they don't allow mail-in voting. So now you're going to have people go out and then line up, do their voting in person. Like, this is like, it's not going to end clean. There's so many angles. You can have Donald literally postpone this election easily.
And he'll say, let's do it next year.
Next year or 10 years from now.
Yeah.
But like, the Democrats won't allow them to do that. They'll fight. They will fight to the bone to make sure that that doesn't happen. But this is really I feel like it's George Floyd all over again now.
Yep. Nostradamus. You've read into Nostradamus in the End of Times. I feel like we're living in these times right now. The world is coming to an end. You have hurricanes all over the place. Look at this.
Well, Hurricane Laura destroyed parts of Louisiana. Like, it was a Category 4.
Yeah.
Nuts. Hurricanes all over the place. You ain't kidding.
The world is coming to an end.
I don't know about coming to an end, dude, but it could be a renaissance. It could be a rebirth, like a new chapter, like a new look, a new beginning. I don't know. I think Joe Biden is the beginning of it, but I don't think that he'll be the catalyst. Joe Biden is like in his 70s.
Yeah.
It'll be the start, because you got to get Donald out. But once you get Trump out, you have to get rid of the system that brings Trump in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That'll be step two, but that could take years. So you got to start somewhere.
If Biden doesn't get in, we're toast.
It's going to be like, it's going to be on. It's going to be on.
You know it. It's going to be Joker, it's right?
It's coming. Dude. This freaking kid, like, I'm telling you, these people are ruthless. They have military-styled weapons. There are people.
He's 17, right?
Have,
What's he doing with a gun at what's he doing with a gun of that category, of that caliber? At the age of 17, what do you need an AR-15 for? You're not going to war.
I don't know. He was, according to his social media and his TikTok account, he's a really big gun enthusiast, a really big back the blue, like Blue Lives Matter type guy, Trump supporter, big Trump 2020 kid. It's all over his TikTok. And that's only one person. I'm telling you, if it was like a group of five people or 10, we wouldn't be saying three. We could easily be saying like upwards of like 30, because these guys are hunters too. Don't forget that they go most.
They go hunting. People, they love hunting.
They go hunting for deer, so they're good on stealth. They're good with like web. They're good with those type of guns, man. Like they have aim. Like this is this is threatening stuff. This is real threatening stuff.
There needs to be restrictions on guns as soon as Joe Biden gets in, because everyone thinks, oh, he's going to come in, he's going to take the guns. That's what they always say. That the Democrats, when they take power, they're not taking the guns. They're putting restrictions on it.
Restrictions on how to get one.
Yeah.
Mostly. It's really easy to get a gun. Hence point, we had a 17-year-old kid coming with an AR-15. I don't know, man. Do you think that like these riots are kind of like not playing to the favor of the Democrat side?
Because you know what? Because there's got to be something done. If the peaceful protesting isn't going to work, just burn everything to the ground.
but could that harm their whole campaign to get back into office?
I don't know. Something has to be done.
Because these riots have been causing like millions of dollars in damage. And I get that, like, you know, you're trying to make a statement, but like it's the voters who vote.
The voters also have to understand that, especially the white voters, they have to understand that the killings of unarmed black men in this country is outrageous. They're not viewing it from the black man's eyes. They're not viewing it from that. They're viewing it from the white eyes, the white privileged eyes. They don't understand. So they have to understand that there are injustices in this country.
I just don't know if they're going to understand if all they're seeing, especially on social media and especially on the news, is cities and towns being lit up on fire and stuff being destroyed. It's not a good look. And like it's because I find it like weird when you tell them about a peaceful protest, they don't believe that they're peaceful, but they are peaceful. But all they see on the television is fire and destruction and people yelling and running all over the place. That's not the peaceful protest.
Well, a lot of times it's the white supremacists who go and start these fires to make it look like it's the Black Lives Matter people.
But they're not going to believe that.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, dude, media has really screwed over this country. And it's really maimed the voters' thinking. It's all over the place. And I think it's really coming to roost now. Because you have now people that have in their mind thinking that they're going to become like a hero, like a vigilante hero. If I take this gun and I go and defend other people's businesses in another state, it's coming, dude. I'm telling you, this was one person, one time. I know that this kid got arrested and charged. Let's see if he gets convicted.
He's got to get convicted. And the officers have to be fired for what they did. They were put on leave. That's what I heard.
Who, the ones that shot James Blake?
Yeah.
Oh, they got put on leave?
Yeah.
Of course they got put on leave. And apparently the police chief of Kenosha blamed the protesters for being out past curfew for why they got shot.
Oh my God.
So this
so they can't so protest. Yeah, but that's ridiculous. You know what I mean? That's ridiculous.
I mean, this is what we're dealing with, man. It's so tribal. It's so divided. And all it takes is for one side to have guns and just fire away. It's coming. It's coming. And I really don't know how else it can. What's going to stop it? You can't, a legislation is not coming in the next, how many months? 3 months. It's not coming.
Nope.
These, I mean, maybe in states, maybe the best win we can get is maybe if the Wisconsin state legislature takes away, was it called qualified immunity on cops?
I think so, yeah.
Maybe that could be a win for the state, but they're still pressing issues on the federal level. There's not much else to really look forward to except for November.
And as soon as the vote are the winners announced, who knows what'll happen?
Who knows?
It could go bad both ways.
Yeah, exactly. And the NBA players had enough too. LeBron James, all of them boycotted all of the playoff games yesterday. Started off with the Milwaukee Bucks because, you know, Wisconsin, they wanted to show some solidarity. They boycotted their game, a game that they were probably going to win anyway to advance in the playoffs. They were going to eliminate the Orlando Magic.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to play. They boycotted the game. And then the Lakers and the Clippers and all the other teams that are playing boycotted their games as well. There was talk of canceling the entire postseason. But of course, today it comes out that they all agreed to continue playing, which I believe they're going to get back on the court tomorrow. So I'm guessing that whatever games were happening yesterday are going to happen on Friday.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll see what happens then. But that was an unprecedented thing that took place. This is the NBA playoffs. You had big time players calling out governments, demanding change. And yeah, it truly shows you the power that the players have on the league. No other sport in this country, in fact, no other sport, I think, in the world is dependent on its players to carry on the game.
When you have LeBron James calling out the nonsense and the government, that's pretty much all you need.
All you do. Now, the NBA players are somewhat hypocritical considering their siding with China, but you know, you can kind of trace the reason why. Okay, LeBron has his shoes pretty much made there. He has his business ties there and stuff like that, and the NBA does too. But this was something different, and I think that it put the NBA at the forefront in terms of this whole movement. The NBA is one of the biggest influencers in the United States. I think bigger than the NFL. The NFL, with all the Kaepernick stuff, did nothing. All the NFL did was bury themselves into a deeper hole.
And how about Dan Snyder? The more news that came out about him.
Dan Snyder, you got freaking Woody Johnson, owner of the New York Jets, who apparently was making racial slurs while being the ambassador overseas in the UK. The NFL has taken a big back seat in all this racial injustice stuff. And the NBA has stepped to the front here. And it really is huge for the entire sport. I wonder, how did Adam Silver react
To the boycott. I haven't checked. You want me to check it?
Yeah. Let's see.
Let's see what he said. We're just going to double check here what Adam Silver said. Adam Silver, NBA boycott.
It's interesting because Adam Silver is one of the most pro player, commissioners. In fact, I think he's the most pro player commissioner in sports today. He's always looking out for his players. He has a great relationship with the players union. I believe isn't Chris Paul the president of the players union?
I think so.
Yeah, but Silver has always been in good ties with them. So I assume that he was on board.
Yeah, he's the players president. Chris Paul's the players president. I couldn't find any statement on Adam Silver.
I assume that he is on board with them. You know, Adam Silver has been through a lot already this year, trying to bring back the NBA, trying to go through the right safety protocols and
baseball. Still, it's a mess. The Mets got COVID last week.
Had COVID. Yeah. Well, the Brewers boycotted their game yesterday. I think they played the Padres. No, they played the Padres. The Brewers played. I think it was against the Pirates. But that doesn't matter. The Brewers, who are, of course, the Milwaukee Brewers, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, makes sense, show some solidarity. They did a boycott as well. I think they were the only team that boycotted in Major League Baseball. But the NBA has stepped up to the plate here and really showed how sports truly impact our culture. Because wasn't that eye-opening, dude? Like, if you were ready for some playoffs yesterday, you didn't get any.
Nope.
And you were made aware of why. It was to spread awareness. 100 times better than the NFL. 100 times. That whole thing. Remember when Jerry Jones was kneeling with his friggin' players?
Oh, yeah. I remember he took the kneel on the ground with the players.
What a bunch of hogwash. Man, they did nothing after that. They were and then immediately after that, they were the owners were plotting to keep Colin out of the sport. It was unreal, an unmitigated disaster.
And he still hasn't been brought back.
They tried bringing him back, man. He did that workout with teams, and Colin didn't really do, you know, the teams any real favors. I think he changed the location of the place and changed the time. It was just a mess. But you could definitely I don't know. Basketball really, really stepped up here. And I don't think it can happen in football because there's too many players. I don't think an entire football team would ever boycott a game. I just don't think they would.
You know, the Niners aren't.
Nah. The Niners,
not with Bosa on the team.
Bosa would be like boycotting for what? Come on, guys. I think it's better if we actually do play.
Nick Bosa.
Nick Bosa. Man.
Oh, you know he'd be playing out there.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god, he would be so much. You know, I was watching this documentary. It was called Fahrenheit 11/9. It's made by Michael Moore. You know Michael Moore?
He's always Michael on Moore. MSNBC and the news channels.
Michael Moore, yeah, he won an Oscar for his documentary Bowling for Columbine, which came out in 2002. He's made so many documentaries. He's really one of the best to ever do it. Fahrenheit 11/9 came out, I think, a couple of years back. and it's about the 2016 election, about Donald Trump, and like just the instability of the United States in general right now. And like, it's really interesting. Like, he went on MSNBC once. Actually, no, it wasn't MSNBC. He does a podcast too. It's called Rumble with Michael Moore. And he basically said, like, you know, Washington has done a really good job letting Trump off the hook for almost everything that he does.
Yeah, he's never been held accountable for anything. I've always said that. He's never, when are they going to do something?
And it wasn't just Washington, man. He even went back and said, you know, for the past 40 years, New York City has let him off the hook. Like,
he's got allegations all over the place from women.
It's not even just the allegations, man. It was, did you know that him and his father were sued back in, I think it was the 80s for racial discrimination?
And I know the father was always racist towards his employees.
Racist toward the employees, but like they wouldn't rent out houses to blacks. They went to court over it, and it was settled. But that was like a blatant thing. And I get it. The 80s and 90s were different because there was no social media. And like the media loved Donald so much for all those years that he was the real estate mogul. He was the face of American success and wealth. He really was. At the, like, you know, 40 years, he was the face of American success and wealth. And he had something that no other real billionaire could really do, and that was entertain people. You know, Warren Buffett couldn't entertain and go on television. No. Bill Gates, he can't. And none of these guys could. Steve Jobs, like any of these like really rich people that build companies, no one was like Donald, and the media and New York City adored him. They adored him. Meanwhile, he was having blatant crimes just being thrown out into the public. Do you remember the Central Park Five?
Yeah, he tried to get those teenagers, African-American male teenagers, thrown in jail. He wanted to bring back the death penalty.
Wanted to bring and have him like, you know, executed. He put out a full page ad in one of the major newspapers in New York, in New York. A full page ad saying, yeah, bring back the death penalty. Like, these were blatant. This wasn't like, you know, like Bill Cosby, you find out what he did 40 years later, even after the Bill Cosby show aired. Like, this was out in the open, and the media still loved him. They still protected him because he was entertaining. He was the symbol of wealth and success, and nobody ever wanted to put him down. Because he was just so lovable. He was like, oh, there's Donald.
Yeah, like, people just liked them. They were hypnotized by whatever.
Yeah. Why do you think the Me Too movement has been so shocking on so many levels, and people are still trying to fight for certain people that have been proven predators? Like how I said before, Bill Cosby. There are still people that are still trying to prove Bill Cosby's innocence. It's like, oh, well, how could those women even remember? It was so long. It's like, and you know what, man? Like, it makes sense why they would have that sort of fight in them to try to protect Bill Cosby. Do you know how popular Bill Cosby was?
He was considered the America's father. Yeah. Television.
In American television, in American life. Like, the Bill Cosby show was one of the most successful television shows, like, ever. People loved Heathcliff Huxtable, Dr. Huxtable. He was, as you said, he was America's father. But when you found out about what he was doing with women, it was a big shock. Or, for instance, James Franco. James Franco was in the probably the prime of his acting career. He got done making the Disaster Artist, which came out a couple of years back. I think he was going to be he was nominated for an Oscar, or I think he was going to be nominated for an Oscar for that performance. He wasn't going to win, but he was still going to get nominated, and it was still going to be huge. And then, of course, sexual allegations and sexual abuse, you know, sexual abuse allegations started coming out against him. And then that was the end of James Franco. And people were not happy. And people were stunned, you know. The whole R. Kelly thing, people were stunned. You know, I believe I can fly. Like, you know how big, that song is in culture, in pop culture? Like, and now it's like you can't even think of R. Kelly and not think about the people that he abused. And that was all discreet, man. This was all being found out now. All being found out like now. Or someone like Matt Lauer.
Oh, he had a secret button under his desk that locked the door.
Like, to lock the door. Oh my God! Like, who puts in that like mechanism into the office? No, but he was a prominent name in media, man.
And you always remember the Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Yep. And now he's just like, he's gone. He's never to be seen again. Never to be seen again. You know what I'm saying? But Donald Trump, it's the same thing. It's the exact same thing. Like, people are just mesmerized by him because he had, like, he was able to make people laugh. He was able to make people feel entertained. He was able to bring attention to the camera. If you could do those things, man, in front of a camera, you could do nothing wrong. Even if you do horrible things. Horrible things. Well, I would say probably like back then. Nowadays, it's different. You're going to get pulled right off of TV and stuff like that. You're going to be completely shunned. But back in the 80s and 90s, dude, like, it wasn't going to happen.
The thing I don't like about the whole allegations and Me Too movement is that you can't convict someone off of social media. The whole mute and the cancel culture and all this other nonsense that's out here. There has to be due process. And I've told you that, remember? Like, with other people, remember Mike Starantino that night? You can't be just throwing people in jail and just having a public conviction. You can't be doing that.
I mean, I agree to an extent. I think it's more so like believing the accused. And now I do believe that everybody deserves a second chance at redeeming themselves. If you can't redeem yourself after the second chance, then you're done. But you should always have a second chance, you know? And I don't know whether cancel culture will evolve in the coming years, but I don't know. I really don't know what else to say about it.
That's the only thing I hate. Like, when you go on Twitter and someone has an accusation or allegation. Let's take Joe Beningo for an instance. Have you heard about his allegation?
Yeah.
Was crucified for a harassment claim that happened 10, 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Like,
had to take a leave from WFAN. Comes back. A couple months later, people were calling up yelling, you have to pay for your sins.
Well, I haven't heard. Does he still get those calls today? I don't think he does.
No, but the week he returned, he got a lot of them.
Yeah, well, he is one of the lucky ones. He's one of the lucky ones, you know? But, like, back to Trump, it's like blatant crimes that have been going on for 40 plus years. And New York City still encouraged him, loved him, embraced him as their own. And he was America's symbol of wealth and success. Somebody that they could put on a television screen and, you know, have him, like, you know, be the guy to look up to. He was kind of like America's idol. He was.
As much as I hate to say it, yeah, he was idolized back then.
Idolized, revered, all of it. All of it. But is there, like, any other topic you wanted to get into before
the Knicks getting the 8th pick in the draft? Wasn't surprised. I know you texted me. Yeah, I was doing a show when I got the text because I wasn't even going to watch the lottery draft. I knew it was going to happen. Knicks weren't getting a top five. I said that. Knicks weren't even going to get a top five pick.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, let's end the podcast with this topic. Can you really, like, be surprised?
No.
I mean, you have the 6th worst record in the sport, and yet you end up with the 8th pick. Like, can somebody please, like, explain, like, how that's even fair? Like, how is that right?
It's not. It's never right.
Like, how are you, how are you progressing franchises when they're being pushed back in the draft? You're not always going to find a Steph Curry
at the number in the
lower
slot.
Top 10. Yeah. You're not – those the people that find the diamonds in the rough in those spots get hit with so much luck that it ends up changing their franchise.
And the Knicks, they never get any luck, so they're not going to get anyone great at that pick. You know that right now.
But at least they have a core. Their core is RJ Barrett and Mitchell Robinson.
They need a point guard.
They need a point guard in the worst way. They need to hope that this coach, Tom Thibodeau, and his staff can work with players to embellish their strengths and to grow as a team. The Knicks need a team. Like, they need to build something where, you know, there could be big payoff in the future. And you can't be going down the road of going after free agents.
I'm not counting on it. I don't want to hear about Giannis being a free agent in 2021. We're not going to do this again.
You can't do it again anymore?
I'm not doing a round two of KD, Kyrie, and Zion to be, oh, we're going to get Giannis and this player and then the number one pick in the draft for next year. Not doing it.
Why not trade Mitchell and RJ for some more cap space?
Because we're going to bring in Giannis, right?
Yeah, good old Leon Rose making that first big move. And we're like, oh, but we want to, like, clear up cap.
They might. I'm for trading that draft pick, that 8th pick. If you can get put a package together that's worth it and it makes sense to get a good player in here, they should pull the trigger on it.
How about trade up? Instead of 8, how about trade up to, like, I don't know, 4?
I don't think LaMelo's going to be there, though.
No, LaMelo's going, like, either – I think LaMelo is going 1, 2, or 3. He's to the top 3 pick. I didn't see Cole Anthony going in the top 10 in the latest mock.
Yeah. I talked to Frank Isola about Cole Anthony. They like him. The Knicks like him.
Well, maybe if he's available at 8, you know, take him.
Yeah, watch. He won't. He won't. As soon as the Knicks are almost on the clock, Cole Anthony will be taken at 7. Just right there.
What's his position? He's a forward?
Point guard.
Was a point guard. So that's what you need. I would take it. Call Anthony. If he's there, you got to take him.
We need a point guard in the worst way.
Very much the worst way.
We have no one to facilitate that offense.
Who was it that you wanted to trade the pick for?
There were rumors of Devin Booker. There were rumors of that, of a deal for him out there. I did hear about that, but...
Nah, Booker's staying in Phoenix.
Yeah, he's probably staying with the Suns. Either way, the Knicks would get fleeced, and they would... That's the thing with the Knicks. They always get fleeced. They never get that hydra... Remember Andrea Bargnani?
Andrea Bargnani. Well, we want to rebuild him. He was a project.
Terrible. Never panned out. This guy never played. All he did was sit on the pine the whole time.
Trade a first round pick for Andrea Bargnani. Well, here's good news about the Eastern Conference. I think that the Sixers are going to be breaking down.
Yeah, they just fired their coach. Now they may have to go through a rebuild, depending on who they bring in for the new system.
Yep. Sixers are breaking down. The Celtics are still there. They'll be good no matter what. The Raptors, I think the Raptors, isn't Kyle Lowry a free agent and Fred VanVleet?
Yeah, yep. They're looking at Fred VanVleet.
So they could be they'll be losing players, you know. Nick Nurse is a really good coach, but if he's going to be losing players, it's not going to be good. Bucks are always going to be good as long as you've got Budenholzer and for as long as Giannis stays there. Who else? Pacers are good, but they're not great. The Heat, I guess they will. I don't know about the Heat. Well, the Heat have a good team, but
Jimmy
I don't know
Butler.
How long that could last. And Brooklyn, what we're gonna have to wait and see. The Nets are putting in a big offer to get Popovich away from San Antonio. Don't know how successful that would be. So who else am I missing from the Eastern Conference that's like really good that I'm missing?
You mentioned the Celtics and the Sixers and the Bucks. That's like the top three teams. The Raptors.
I said the Pacers and the Heat. Yeah, that's eight teams, right? Yeah, it's eight.
Yeah.
Well, the Orlando Magic were just kind of there.
The Atlanta Hawks.
The Hawks. Yeah, they got Trae Young.
Yeah. The Hornets.
We'll see, man. We'll
see. Bulls.
The Bulls. We're just going to have to wait and see. But are you ready to wrap this up, man? This is really good stuff.
Yeah, this was. This is an hour-long podcast. But we haven't done it in 3 weeks, and I'm glad we're back. We're rolling.
Uh-huh. Awesome.
And, next week, same time, 2:30, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. When is that? Yeah, next. Yeah, it'll be September. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
But, all right, it's my socials. So, my Instagram is at TANOOCH96. Once again, at TANOOCH96.
You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at The Real Max, TheReelMax. Once again, The Real Max, TheReelMax. Follow the Conspiracies, Crimes, and Curses podcast on Twitter at CX3Podcast. Check out all of our previous episodes on my website, MaxRCoughlin.com, MaxRCoughlin.com. Under shows, Conspiracy, Crime, and Curses, you'll see all the previous podcast episodes and on my YouTube channel visually. Conspiracies, Crimes, and Curses episodes. It's under Sports and Hip Hop with DJ Mad Max.
Awesome. So thank you guys for tuning in. It's been a really good show. Wash your hands. Wear your mask.
Please. Yeah, wear your damn mask.
Wear the mask. My goodness. So enjoy the rest of your day and enjoy your weekend, everybody. So long.